Thank you, Michaela. Matthew chapter 11. Thank you to everyone who has ministered, whether it was music or teaching or even individually ministering to one another. Ministry within the local church takes many forms, and I'm thankful to be part of a church that ministers very well to each other. So let's continue to do that. Matthew chapter 11. And would you look with me at verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We could divide invitations mostly into two different categories: the invitations we want and the invitations we don't want, okay? So the invitations we want, somebody invites us to something, they send an invitation out, and we are trying to figure out, how can I get this on the calendar? Okay, I want to participate in this. I want to go to this. Let's mark it down. Sometimes in that category, we're invited to something we want to go to, but there's a prior commitment. There's something else going on, and we can't make it. And then there's the invitations that, as soon as we get them, we think to ourselves, and we've all been here, right? I think safe to say, how can I get out of this? What do we have going on that is going to allow me not to go to this? Okay, now if you've invited me to something and I've not gone, that's not, all right, I'm not saying that was the reason always. But some of you are going to come invite me to something after this just to see what takes place. But we immediately try to find a way out. How can I let them down gently? Okay, how can I let them know that I'm not coming, but it's not you, it's me? Okay, one of those types of situations. Go back to middle school like we did this morning for a second. I was in sixth grade, and I went to public school, kindergarten through 12th grade. And at our school, it was fall of sixth grade, and we had, I'm going to call it a function, okay? We had an event that was taking place at the school, and it was an event in which you could invite people to go with you to the event. And I have no idea why, but I decided that I was going to invite another sixth grader, all right, sixth grade girl, to this event. And it wasn't just any sixth grader. It was one of the most popular sixth graders. And if you've met me for more than 3 seconds, you know I do not fit that category. I was decided I'm going to invite, I don't know what idea. It wasn't even like a buddy dared me to do this. Okay, it wasn't like, man, I dare you to ask her. It wasn't even like that. It was my own thinking. And I remember going and I asked, and I said, "Would you like to go with me to this event?" And she said, you guys are already ahead of me. She said no, but then she said, "No, I'm not going." Oh, of course. She's got to say no to me because she's not going to the event. Piece of cake, no problem. Until the night of the event, when I go to the event. Were you guys there? Did you guys? She was there with another guy, I'm pretty sure. And she was probably like, "This poor guy, I don't want to go with him, but I don't know how else to say. I'm not going to go with you." You're like, that is the most loser story I have ever heard in my life. I know. I lived it. I know it. Clearly, she did not want the invitation. But this morning, we see an invitation in which none of us can afford to decline the invitation. It's not even an invitation we should try to make an excuse from. Notice with me what Jesus says. Verse 28, he says, come. When we send an invitation to someone, we are telling them that we see you, we know you, we want you. And Jesus says, come unto me. The invitation is come. Spurgeon would say that this was the favorite word of Jesus, this word come. But this invitation from Jesus must be for a select few, right? It must be for a certain individual. So we've got to keep reading to see who this is for. This must be for the good people. This invitation must be for the religious people. It can't be an invitation for someone like Brother Doug met on the street, passing out invitations, right? Like, it can't be for that. It's got to be for the good people. It's got to be for religious people. He says, come all ye that. There we go. Here's the qualifier. And this is what he says. He says, come all that labor and are heavy laden. He doesn't say, come all of you who have it all together. Come all who have a lot of money. Come all who have it all figured out. Come all who are popular. I told you I would have been out on that one already. And famous. Come those of you who are just getting along at life so well. Come unto me. No, he says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This invitation is open for everyone. Because we all understand what it is like to labor, don't we? The word simply means this, to grow weary, to be tired, to be exhausted. Are we all there? Some of us are like, we live there. That is my natural, that's my state all the time. That is where I am. He says, come who are tired, weary, exhausted. And it's for those who are heavy laden, and the idea of this word is to be burdened. To be burdened down. Think of the culture in which Matthew here is writing, in which Jesus is speaking. And think of an animal who was a burden animal who was carrying something on its back, and you can see it go by, and it's weighing him down, this idea of being burdened. It's not for the good people, not for the religious people. In fact, Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sufferers and Sinners, would say this, you don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. It is likely that Jesus here, he's addressing a Jewish crowd, mostly Jewish people, and I want us to think of the people he's talking to. He says, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And at this time, the Jews are under the oppression of a very famous world power known as the Roman Empire. And just the heaviness of that oppression, and just the crushing of that oppression, of who they were under at the time, a harsh world, a tough world, and just by its very existence, the world they lived in just kind of weighed them down. And this is not so different from what our experience is. Just the very fact that we live life on this earth sometimes just weighs us down, does it not? Does it not feel just burdensome? Does it not add to the tiredness that is already there just to exist on this planet? And we all know what it's like to live there. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of you are saying, rest, what is that? I wish I could experience some of that. I know the tiredness. I want the rest. But notice the promise Jesus gives. It says, he will give rest. And we could literally phrase it this way. Jesus is not just saying, I will give you rest. Literally what he is saying is, I will rest you. Not only is he the one that provides the rest, that gives the rest, he is the actual source of the rest that he is calling us to. He says, I will rest you. This is from a Greek word which was found in a manuscript dating back to 103 BC as a technical term used in agriculture. It spoke of a farmer resting his land by sowing light crops upon it. The farmer thus relieved the land of the burden of producing a heavy crop that season, which gave the land an opportunity to recuperate and thus gain its strength. And even the Lord would give us a pattern to follow when he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Why? Because his energy source was depleted? No, because he was setting that up for us. And then we come to the nation of Israel. And in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 4, it says that the land was to be rested, what, every seventh year. There was supposed to be a rest upon the land. And then to the nation of Israel, he would give rest for themselves, and we would call that the Sabbath day, in which they would take a day and they would rest. Animals and servants were also included in this rest, that everything was to be resting on this day. And God has set up a pattern for rest. He is the source of rest. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus would send out the disciples two by two and would give them power over unclean spirits and give them power to do things. And then they would come back and he would tell them that they needed to rest a while. Hey, you need to take some time. You've been giving out. You've been pouring out. The pace you're going is not sustainable. You need to come rest a while. You've not had any leisure time. It's interesting. By the time we get to the time of the Lord Jesus and all the rules and regulations that were a part of the Sabbath day tradition that would take place, and how the Pharisees and the scribes and the traditions that would follow, and in which his disciples would be plucking corn, and they would say, hey, it's not lawful for them to do that. And then he says, well, actually, remember David, when he was hungry, he took that which wasn't supposed to eat, but because life is more important, we're going to allow this to happen. And then he would say, what, that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And then there's another time in which Jesus actually healed someone on the Sabbath day and got in trouble for it. It says that after that happened, they took note, not how they could stop him and just keep him from doing what he was doing. It says that they wanted to destroy him for helping someone on the Sabbath day. Imagine taking a nap. Some of us, all right, maybe you're like, that's all it is. It's an imagination. I wish I could take a nap. Imagine taking a nap and all of a sudden an emergency happens. And one of your children is out in the front yard and they need rescuing from some danger. And you get up from the nap to go rescue them, and you're telling your friend about this. He's like, are you kidding me? You got up from a nap to help your kid? What are you doing? You should have been resting. That's almost how ridiculous this is here with the Pharisee, the scribe saying, you healed someone on the Sabbath day? Look, he's been in that condition for so long now. He could have waited another day. No, Jesus said this was going to happen. And Jesus would then say this. He would say what? That the Sabbath was made for who? For man. And God said, there is a pattern that I am setting up here, a pattern of rest for you. Now, we all know what it's like to go through busy seasons, don't we? Seasons of life that are just nonstop. But then we should also have patterns in which we are getting rest for not only our souls, but rest for our bodies. And Jesus says, hey, the burdened one, the weary one, the tired one, come to me. I will give you rest. I want you to have this. In the verse 29, he continues. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And here we go again. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. He tells them to take his yoke. One author would say, in exhorting them to take his yoke, Jesus was inviting them to discipleship. A pupil enrolling for instruction under a teacher is considered as coming under a yoke. Instead of exchanging one burden for another, however, it is exchanging one that is onerous and crushing for one which is light and rewarding. There is an inner satisfaction and rest of soul in being a disciple of Christ, which is unknown by the child of the world who attempts to bear his own burden. One thing that we can all agree on and establish is the fact that life is difficult. Life is hard. There are things that we have to go through that we would not choose to go through. I remember one person saying that life is hard whether you know Christ or not, but the difference for those who know Christ and rest in Him is the fact that when they go through something difficult, when they go through something hard, they have Christ going there with them. And He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And then He says, "Learn of me." We need to learn from Jesus. When we commit ourselves to Him, we must do that because when, as a disciple, we learn from Him, we become like Him. To take on this idea of discipleship is to be a learner. It is to be a follower. And ultimately, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're discipling Him, it turns into an imitator. Because one person said, He is both teacher and lesson. As I'm following Him, I'm learning from Him, but I am also, what does Paul say? He says, be what? Imitators of Him. Be followers. That word imitate, to do that. Look at what he says about himself. He says, take my yoke upon you. You need to learn from me because I am meek and lowly in heart. This idea of meekness is simply the idea of gentleness. Meek, humble, gentle, one author would write. Jesus is not trigger happy, not harsh, reactionary, easily exasperated. He is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. That's the idea of the Lord Jesus. He says, you learn from me because I am meek. I am gentle. Brother Raphael read the passage in James chapter 1 today. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men how? Liberally, freely. He says, and upbraideth not. What does that mean? He says, when I come to Jesus, when I say, Lord, I need wisdom in this situation, he doesn't say, again, like we do when people come to us for multiple times. And the idea of upbraiding is the idea that he doesn't criticize when we come for him. It's like, oh, you need help with that? You can't figure that out on your own? No, 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 that's not the picture. And it's not a pointed finger. And sometimes our view of who the Lord is now, we are to fear God and keep his commandments. We are to respect him. But Jesus' call to us is a call to come and just rest in him and just to love him. What does he say in John chapter 15? He says, hey, come, abide in me. I want you with me. He says that his heart is meek. And then notice what he says here. He says, I am meek and I am lowly. And the idea here is simply that of humility. It is his servant's heart displayed, one would write, displayed throughout his ministry, making him qualified to be the one who bears our burdens. And this isn't the only idea, not the only idea of humility that we think of. And Ortlund again would write, he'd say, the point in saying that Jesus is lowly is that he is accessible. As you look through humanity, as you look through human history, is there another, and I'm going to just use this term, is there another deity that has ever been as accessible as our God? I mean, think about it. Has there been another God who the invitation to come is so free and the invitation to come is so open? He says, you just need to come and you don't have to bring anything with you. In fact, bring everything you've got, which is your burdens and your tiredness, bring that with you and come to me. And when it comes to the God of the Bible, our God is an accessible God. Think of the name of our very church, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, God was manifest in the flesh. God was revealed. God was made known as a person. Philippians chapter 2, what do we know? That he came and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the very what? Likeness of man. That is the accessible God that we have. The God that said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to be like you yet without sin. So then I can then pave the way for you to get to God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. When we follow Jesus in discipleship, we find rest. And not just any rest. Look at what he says. Rest unto your souls. What's the price tag on that? How many people would be willing to pay lots and lots of money to have rest in their soul? They might be able to get it physically. In fact, if you look at top athletes, one of the things that they focus on is physical rest. They want to make sure their body is getting this much amount of sleep and this much amount of a break because they're trying to perform at peak performance. They're trying to put the money into that. But what about rest of soul? That inner rest. That rest that goes, even though things are insane on the outside, there's still a peace, there's still a rest that I can have in my very soul. That's what Jesus says. He says, come, learn from me. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. And then look at verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus invites us to come, and he invites us to an easy, manageable, mild, pleasant yoke. And the idea of this, you're imagining now two animals that are getting in the harness together, and they are going to work together to do work, to plow a field, something like that. And what they would do is they would take a stronger ox or a stronger animal, and they would yoke it up with an animal who was much weaker, trying to train that animal what to do. So if this animal wanted to go this way, guess what? The stronger one can bring it that way. And when we get in the harness with Jesus, when we take his yoke, it's not that he puts it on us and he gets us and sends us through life alone. And it's not that Jesus comes and I receive him as my Savior and then it's like, okay, good luck. Hey, hope everything turns out okay. I might be available if you need me. I'm not sure. No. What is it? It's, hey, take my yoke. And it's not just me taking the yoke of Jesus. It's that I'm getting in there with him. And he's doing the work. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have you ever had a boss who gave you an assignment and you didn't know what to do? And you weren't sure. You didn't even know what questions to ask. It was one of those assignments. You're like, what am I supposed to do again? I remember working at the distribution center, and I was not there very long, and I was in receiving. And we would take the pallets off and process the pallets. And I remember getting a pallet one time, and it wasn't supposed to come to us. It was supposed to go somewhere else. So I remember going to the manager and saying, hey, what am I supposed to do with this? He said, oh, stick it back on the truck. Okay, I'm very literal, so I just did exactly what he said to do. I put it back on the truck, closed the truck down. Come to find out later, guess what? There was like paperwork that needed to go with this pallet, and we had to make sure that somebody else knew it was coming. It's like, he didn't tell me all that. Why would you tell me just put it back on? I didn't know what I was doing. And then you've had that boss who gives you a tough assignment, and they jump in there with you with that assignment. Hey, this is hard. We're going to do this, but guess what? I'm going to be with you while you're doing it. I'm going to help you do this. It's light because when we seek to get in the yoke with him, he is there with us. And also, he says, my yoke is easy. He says, my burden is light. When we seek to follow him alone and please him alone, when the weight of added traditions, remember, the main audience here, all right, this book, Matthew, this gospel written primarily to a Jewish mindset. Think about what the Jews are going through, not just the rule of the Roman Empire, but think about their own religious system. The 613 commandments that were given in the Old Testament have now been added to. And there's a lot of tradition, and there's a lot of oral things that have come. The Pharisees and the scribes have added to these things, and they've said, nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't do that. Nope, this is very strict. Nope, that's very, nope, sorry, you can't do that. Nope. And they're under this burden, not just of the Roman Empire, but they're under this burden of religion that says, I've got to do and do and do and do, and hopefully I'll have favor with God. And what happens is the burden of Christ is light for us because it's not religion that Jesus is looking for in us. It's not do and do and do and do. It's already been done. I have paid the price for you to get to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come rest in me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The call to come to Jesus and find rest is not a call to see how many commandments we can keep. It's not a call to see how many traditions we can hold up. It's not a call to do and do. And if I do this, surely I will find favor with God. I think of my own salvation testimony and being 15 years old and struggling, doubting my salvation, and finally got to the point where I thought this. I thought, surely God would not keep me out of heaven because I do this and because I do that. And March 7th of 2003, I realized that it was nothing I had done, but only what Jesus Christ had done for me. What is that? That's liberating. That's freeing. That's rest. It's not a call to see how much you can do for God, although is that important? Are we to work out our faith? Absolutely. Jesus would mark his followers in John chapter 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if, and he doesn't say, if you can make sure that you give this much, if you can make sure that you look this way, if you can make sure that you sing this song, if you can make sure that, and you fill in the blank with whatever's coming to your mind right now. He doesn't say, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, other than this, that ye have what? Love one for another. And the call, the invitation from Christ is that I come to him, I yoke up with him, I take his burden, and it frees me simply to love other people. When I come to Jesus and seek to be his disciple, that is simply the mark. One author would say this, the Lord will never tax us beyond our strength, never impose a task beyond the ability he gives. He is on the other side of the yoke and he carries all its weight. The Lord is the kindest, most considerate master in the world. And he's the one that gives this invitation to come. Simply, he calls to us to come. And it may be that the call this morning is a call simply to come follow him as Savior and to accept the free gift of salvation. It could be this morning that the call is to come to him in discipleship and to seek to not only take his yoke, but as verse 29 says, but to learn from him and to be his follower, to be his imitator. Maybe discipleship is the commitment. And this commitment to follow Jesus is not a a one-time commitment in which I come and say, okay, Lord, following you, that's done. I don't ever have to try to do that again, okay? We all know that's not possible, right? We get distracted. We get off course sometimes. But what would Jesus say in Luke chapter 9? He would say, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so the call this morning, brothers and sisters, is number one, it's the call to salvation, but it's simply the call to be a follower and to be a disciple. And it's to find the rest that we so desperately need. Would we just rest in Jesus? Would we take his yoke? Would we take our labor and our burdens and simply give them to him and yoke up with him and harness with him and just say, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to follow you. You lead me. You carry the weight. And I'm going to rest in you. And I just am going to have that relationship with that comes with it. Father, thank you for this opportunity to simply look at, Lord, when it comes to these verses, a very small section of what we have recorded of what you have said. Father, would you, Lord, help me? I am in need of just following you. And Lord, not worrying about doing so much, although Lord, you are pleased with what we do for you. But Father, if my love for you is right, and my love for others is right, Lord, then I'm naturally going to do what you want me to do. And Father, I pray for this local church. Lord, there are many burdens represented today. There are many tired minds and tired bodies and just exhausted existences this morning. Father, would you strengthen our local church with yourself? Lord, would you help us to find our rest in you, that we would just come at your invitation and just fall at your feet and just love you and release the burden of doing and just be in your presence and loving and being there. Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us. Pianist is going to play. If you would stand and reflect this morning, there may be one who says, I need to follow the Lord, but it needs to be salvation. Some that may say, my commitment this morning needs to be that of a follower. In a good way, a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and that would learn from him and ultimately be like him. Would you take some time to reflect this morning on the words of the Lord?